Let's talk a little bit about what the Bible calls a work. Some places it's called a work, some places it's called the work. And it's not exactly the same, but it's intertwined with what Paul calls the diminishing of Israel. They're both having to do with Israel, events in Israel, and so this a work and the diminishing are both Israel prophesied things, events having to do with Israel, and they're concurrent with a body of Christ event called the dispensing of the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:17-18. Let's look at the scripture for a work, for the term a work. And that's in Habakkuk 1:5. That's where the prophecy is given. Behold ye among the heathen. That's not talking about everybody among the heathen. Habakkuk is a Jewish prophet. He's prophesying to Israel. And so ye would be Israel. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And as you read Acts, you can see that happening. That's the diminishing that goes on from the fall of Israel till their casting away at the end of the book. Acts 7 being their fall. It has to be prophecy, since it was spoken by a prophet. It's an Israel event, not a body of Christ event or prophecy. Nothing to do with the body of Christ. The body of Christ was secret, hid in God. It was not told. It was kept secret. If it had been prophesied about, it wouldn't have been a mystery anymore. So, look at what Paul says about the work in Romans 9:28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. He said he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. You know what that righteousness is? Any ideas? When he cuts it short in righteousness, that sounds like the wording in Daniel 9, I think it's verse 26, after the first, he gives the years in the way they give them, but it comes out to the first 69 weeks of the 70-week prophecy. After those weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And here it's talking about cut it short in righteousness. Well, this is after the cross, though, isn't it? But that's where we learn about God's imputed righteousness, imputing it to believers. All right. Well, anyway, let's go on. Next, we find in Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus being apprehended by Christ on the road to Damascus. And according to Romans 1:1, Paul was initially separated unto the gospel of God. And here in Acts 13:1-4, I think I left something out of my notes here. When it comes to me, I'm going to insert it, talk about it. But let's go on with this. In Acts 13:1-4, actually, I'm going to go ahead. We see, well, give me a minute to page ahead a little bit here and see if Paul, there was a dispensing of the gospel of Christ that was committed to Paul. It was his job to do it by a charge given him by Jesus Christ himself. The gospel of Christ being the gospel of salvation, and we find that in 1 Corinthians 9:17. Let me pull that up for us to look at. 9, take me a second here, 17, as well as 18, I'll put that up too. And it says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What's my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge." It's the gospel of Christ that that's committed to him to dispense. "That I abuse not my power in the gospel." So, I don't find any place between Acts 19, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, all the way back to Acts 9, when he was saved on the road to Damascus and charged with this, the gospel of God, separated under the gospel of God. I don't see any place that he's commissioned except here in Acts 13, 1-4. So that, in my thinking, that has to apply to here. In Acts 13, 4, he was charged or committed to the dispensation or dispensing of the gospel of Christ, which he did. And you can see later in Acts 13, in verses 38, actually 28 through 39, you can see him preaching the gospel of Christ. "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and you're justified from all things," and not just the things that the law, or Moses, I guess it says Moses. I don't have it in front of me right now, but that's Acts 13, 38 and 39. But Paul's second appointment by Christ, it's not a prophetic appointment or commission. It's not prophecy, but it's God's answer to the prophecy about a work. Not that somebody got ahead of God and he had to catch up with his answer. No. God planned the whole thing, of course, before. He had foreknowledge of it, and he declared how it would be by knowing what people's choices would be. So, in other words, he guarded so that it wouldn't go the wrong way. The determinate counsel of God. He determined the good things. He determined things that might not seem so good, like his son dying on the cross was part of the determinate counsel of God. That's counsel with a S-E-L on the end, not a C-I-L. It's not a group of people. It's the advice that God, the Trinity, God the Godhead, came up with. So, Israel's side during that time is a work, and it's the diminishing. The body of Christ's side during that time is a dispensing of the gospel of Christ, which extends beyond the end of the short work until the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God that we're in now. Both dispensations or dispensings are within the body of Christ. It's not a division in the body of Christ. It's just a forwarding, a progression within the body of Christ from the gospel to a few people that God had been working with through the centuries until later on it's to all people. So here we can see the beginning of a work that was prophesied by Habakkuk in Habakkuk 1:5. It was still God working with individual Jews after the fall of the nation of Israel. God still worked with individual Jews, and you can see that we won't cover that in this, we cover that in other lessons, but you can see that in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. But right now, let's look at Acts 13, and we'll see this, what is called in the Bible, a work. Now, there were in the church, starting at the beginning of Acts 13, First verse. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, five people. Barnabas, Saul, and three others. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, let me just, before I read that, this is all Jewish so far. You see that? There's nothing un-Jewish about it. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. He says, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You see, that's ascending by those five men. Sending them away. They're sent out by the five men. Verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, that's the Holy Ghost's sending that doesn't end in Acts 14:26, like the human sending did for verse 3. It continues until it's expanded to be the gospel of the grace of God. The sending, being sent out would be an apostleship. It would be they're sent out to dispense gospel, whether it's gospel of the grace of God or gospel of Christ before then. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Wow. And they had also John to their minister. So I'm not sure about John Mark, which origin he was loyal to. You know what I mean? Whether he was Jewish, which I tend to think, or whether he was claiming to be part, to go to heaven, that he's trusting Christ to have died for his sins, and that's his hope for heaven. Just can't tell from what I know of it. Anyway, we saw two sendings, one by the five prophets and teachers in Acts 13:3, to the work, and the second simultaneous sending was by the Holy Ghost to the work, sending Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, verse 4. They had also John Mark to their minister. Look at verse 13 in Acts 13. When Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So he got a taste of what they were saying, apparently, and being young and not stabilized yet, I guess. Some of this is conjecture, some of presuming what happened, but whatever it was, he returned, went back, left the work that Paul and Barnabas had been called to. Acts 15:38, at the end, this would be a couple chapters later, but Paul thought it not good to take him, talking about John Mark, to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So in Acts 13:13, John Mark departed from Paul and Barnabas. And in Acts 15:38, Paul tells us that when John Mark departed, it was the work from which he departed. We could read that again. Let's see. It says, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So, verse 41, Acts 13:41, his sermon shortly after he had been commissioned with the gospel of Christ there in Acts 13. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work in which you will nowise believe, though a man declare it unto you. There's no getting around the fact that Paul called his ministry the Habakkuk 1:5 a work, at least in Acts 13. He was supplying the other side, I guess you could say. In prophecy, it says something's going to happen, doesn't say how, but the Lord supplied Paul to accomplish that how that it happened, how the work happened. And the diminishing went along with it at the same time, too. I want to read Acts 14:26. From thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. Remember, that was from those five men. They had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's the verse in Acts 14 that says that part of their commission, of their sending out, was done. The part that where they were sent by the five men. The part where they're sent by the Holy Ghost continued from here, though, still a while longer, until they were sent to all men instead of just to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We've been studying about the work. That's what we're trying to center our thoughts on. It's been an exposing of the gospel of Christ to apostate Jews that didn't want to hear it, mostly. Paul had to be delivered from them, usually. There's one place in the Bible where the term the work is used to point out a different and later function in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, sent out ones, and some prophets, and we learned yesterday what the prophets, what their job description is, the body of Christ prophets. It's not the ones that wrote the Old Testament. The ones that acknowledged Paul's inspiration and that the words that he wrote were the commandments of God, and it became scripture, Paul's epistles. And so he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And incidentally, that word pastor, that's the only time after Malachi that the word pastor appears. It's strictly an Old Testament Jewish term, similar to disciples. Pastor's disciple, those who are being discipled, are discipled by a pastor, a mentor. So, verse 12, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints. Why did he give these men to the church? These gifts, I should say. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So there's, that fits with Acts 20:24, doesn't it? Let me finish the verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is edified by the ministry. Applying the ministry, or the work of the ministry, is what's needed to perfect the saints. So Ephesians, written long after the end of the work of preaching the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek, it's a very complete look at the salvation God has given us. The status, I should say, the position. There's much in Ephesians about our position, our new position that God has given us. It's nothing we do except to receive. Remember the verse Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, in other words, in the same way, walk ye in him, by receiving. So, there was something I was going to go back to here, wasn't it? for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of, the ministry. Look briefly before we close here. We want to look at Acts 20, 24. And I don't think I posted that verse up there, did I? Let me post this one as long as I'm here. 24. Which actually came before Paul wrote the other one, so it should be before it. Let me just get this one up there now. All right. See the ministry in both of them. Oops, that didn't post. Hold on a second. 4:12. Okay. 4:12. Did that post? It posted that time, didn't it? I think. Yeah. So starting with Acts 20:24, but none of these things. This is Paul, just three verses after he summarized the work and the dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He summarized that whole period from Acts 9 to Acts 19 in verse 21. Here in verse 24 of Acts 20, he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And, in other words, additionally, besides this course that he had been on, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And you find him talking about the ministry then instead of the work from then on. If you look down in the Ephesians verse, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The ministry had come into occurrence by that time. For edifying, there's the importance of edifying, for edifying the body of Christ. Okay, I'm done.